The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
All right, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayre here with you live and local on Friday, April 26th. Yes, you've made it to Friday. A bright, sunny day out there near the end of April. Glad to have you along for the show this morning, as always. And we have a great guest here for the whole show this morning, Brittany Polito. She is the Pittsfield Bureau Chief for iBerkshires, and we're going to be talking about all kinds of different stories going on in the city of Pittsfield. Pittsfield is her beat, as it were, and she is kind of on the pulse of all the stories happening in Pittsfield. So we're going to talk a lot about various things. Very interesting show coming up. First, let's go to the weather forecast and find out what we have in store for us today and into tomorrow. Berkshire
weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny. Highs in the upper 50s. Northeast wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming north around 5 miles per hour this afternoon. Tonight, clear, cold with lows in the lower 30s. North wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming south around 5 miles per hour after midnight. Saturday, mostly sunny. Highs in the lower 60s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, sunny and getting a little warmer every moment. That's kind of nice, actually. I was hearing some even warmer temperatures early next week, but also accompanied by some thunderstorms potentially and some heavy storms. So, hey, you know, it's the end of April and that's when things get interesting around here for weather. So, again, welcome to Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR-FM. Thanks for joining us live this morning. And in the studio, Brittany Polito from iBerkshires. Good morning, Brittany. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Glad to have you on board here today. Lots of stuff going on in Pittsfield. Again, tell us about the beat and what you cover. Do you just cover Pittsfield or do you sort of stretch out a little bit into other areas as well?
So Pittsfield is my beat. I'm the bureau chief for Pittsfield, but I do spread my wings a little bit sometimes, especially if, you know, public officials are in South County. We cover proms and graduations mm-hmm. for all of Berkshire County. So I definitely get to see the rest of the county that way. If something really big happens anywhere in the county, I will try to be there.
Yeah.
I do make it down to South County sometimes, but, governmental meetings, all the main stuff I cover in Pittsfield. Mm-hmm.
And there's no shortage of that, for sure. There's plenty of stuff going on. And this is kind of the season where things start to heat up as well. Mm-hmm. We have a new administration for the first time in 8 years here in Pittsfield. And things are, I'm sure you probably noticed, being done slightly differently than the last administration. What are some of the big things that you've seen different from, let's say, last year and the past years to this year?
There's some obvious stuff, like one of the things that Mayor Marchetti did was combine First Friday's Art Walk and Third Thursday to make the First Fridays at 5. That first one, I think, is coming up in early May, mm-hmm. So that'll be interesting. Budget
and
season.
And moving it back to North Street, right, from the Common, that was a big deal.
Moving mm-hmm. it back to North Street from the Common, yeah, that was like a big conversation after the pandemic when mm-hmm. that moved. So, definitely excited to see that. That's cool. I'll try to attend and take some photos and stuff. Budget season, I have a feeling it will be a little bit different. Obviously, there is a set way that it has to go, but, Mayor Marchetti has already proposed a little bit different way to do water and sewer rates. Mm-hmm. He proposed more of like a yearly review of the rates to kind of keep things structured and maybe affordable.
More stable anyway. It seems like maybe that has been the biggest problem that people have had over the years is those wild swings where for a couple of years water and sewer rates didn't change. And then, of course, the big updates to the sewer treatment plant that were mandated by the EPA.
Yep.
And suddenly there was, you know, kind of a huge amount of debt involved with that and having to pay that off. So things swung back up. And, you know, I think when people see their bills go up higher than their increases in their salaries or their Social Security, that makes a big difference.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's a huge thing. Mm-hmm. And we're hearing that with city taxes and with water and sewer. This year, you know, so far what was referred off to, Committee of the Whole on Tuesday, one of those was 8% for each. And in the year prior, I believe it was 12 and 15%. So, you know.
And then somehow tying it to the CPI. That's what I was reading, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So how does that work? So they're going to add some increase, or at least this is what the proposal is, right?
Yes.
So there, nothing's been decided yet, and that'll be at a Committee of the Whole meeting to be determined sometime in the next month, it sounds like. But they'll be tying in a CPI figure so that it will be predictable based on how much inflation is going up, and then there'll be some sort of other funding coming in for if something happened, like for instance, you needed some big upgrade or something broke and you had to fix it, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So I've got the numbers here. So the raise for the average water bill with this rate would be about for one toilet would be about $295.52. Not the raise, but like that would be the
quarterly
cost
rate
for
probably.
It. I have the average water bill for one toilet would raise by about $24 a year, rising from $295.52 in FY24 to $322.44.
That sounds like it's quarterly. Does that sound right?
I believe so.
Well, of course, the other thing with Pittsfield, too, is that we have different rates based on whether you have a water meter or not, and not every house has a water meter.
Yes.
So, you know, there's good and bad about that. You can't go back to not having a water meter. If you have a new building, you're getting a water meter. If you have any kind of major work done in your house that's over a certain level, you're getting a water meter. That's sort of how that works.
Yeah. And by the toilet, if you have more than one toilet, that also increases your cost.
But only if you don't have a water meter.
Yes, if you don't have a water meter.
And that's what's interesting, too. It does save you some money if you are, you know, reasonable with your water use.
Right.
However, if you wash your car a lot, or if you have a swimming pool, or if you, you know, do anything more like that, you're certainly going to be using more water. And if you have a meter, you're going to be paying for it.
Right. Yeah. So some people, you know, some people may be happy with their rate. Some people may favor not having water meters. Some people, I know that, you know, especially last year when Karen Kalinowski was still on the board, a lot of councilors were pushing for citywide water meters to, you know, cut down on costs and just have people kind of be more aware of their water use. And for seniors, too, that was a big thing, too. They wanted, you know, water meters for seniors, and that is a program that the city is doing. Not sure, you know, where they're at with implementation. There was some, you know, just trying to get the water meters in and stuff. But, yeah, it's definitely things you don't think about every day that make a big impact, you know.
It's when the bill shows up. I think that's when it that's when it has the impact for most people. And I think the when people got their tax bills for this coming year and they saw the big increase, I think that that made some ripples for sure. So and you know, here we come again. And this is the way the budget process works in Pittsfield, is that around this time of the year there's a there's a meeting, which has already happened now, right, between the school committee and the city council.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a, you know, everybody comes to a summit and they talk about what the financial picture of the city is.
Yeah.
And they have that discussion. No real votes or anything are taken there. It's just more of a presentation. And then the school committee goes on. And I think last night, I was not there at the meeting, but they did make a decision on the budget that they're going to be sending to the city, right? So how did that work out?
Yeah. So last night, the I say approve, but really they approve it, and then it goes on to, you know, deliberations with the city council. But last night, the school committee did approve an $82.8 million budget.
Mm-hmm.
So that included in that is a city appropriation of $80.4 million and then $2.4 million in the Chapter 70 funds. Now, the Chapter 70 funds, that's a whole story in itself because originally in the governor's budget, the city was not receiving that, you know, $2.4 million. Mm-hmm. They had missed the cut for the higher reimbursement group by like 0.4% or something, 0.04. It was like two students.
Yeah, two or three students that made the difference. And the numbers that the city was receiving from the state were basically saying, okay, now because you didn't have these three students, we're placing you in a completely different category, which means that you're going to lose that 2.4 million or whatever it was, or 3.6. I forget what the number was, but a pretty significant amount of money when it comes to how many teachers you can continue to employ and all the other programs and curriculum and everything that you had to cut. So that was a big bone of contention. So that is sort of this additional money now coming from the state because that was cleared up because business manager, assistant superintendent Benke was able to find that error for the state. What a huge, huge deal that is.
Yeah, that was really cool. And I think because of that error, she found there was like 1,500 students statewide that were accounted for. So this, you know, this is an issue statewide.
Mm-hmm.
It really shows you how much of an impact state funding makes on the budget.
Yeah, especially in Pittsfield.
Yes, yeah. So
and there are some other districts, right, that don't have that same level of impact based on their real estate taxes, their property taxes and things. Pittsfield, North Adams, I would imagine, is another community which is very much dependent on that Chapter 70 funding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And the fact that, you know, we are our own school district. Mm-hmm. We're not like a regional district. So, they were going to be facing a $3.6 million budget shortfall. And that was, you know, that was over 100 positions that were going to need to be cut. And now it's $1.5
million.
Mm. And, you know, it's not really a shortfall. It is a shortfall, but they had to, you know, level the budget to the amount of about $1.5 million. I was trying to type out, you know, every single position and the adds and the subtractions.
A lot of details to cover a school committee meeting, right? I mean, that's very, very detail heavy.
Yes. Yeah. Especially on a Thursday night. You know, it's almost Friday and you're ready. You're ready for the week to be over. But it was, you know, I don't think any parties are thrilled about it because positions still need to be cut.
Right.
There were members of the administrators union, and there were teachers and there were parents that came to the meeting to talk about how they're concerned about, you know, a reduction in paraprofessionals. And, you know, all that stuff is very real.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the narrative was kind of like, we're doing the best that we can. We've been here before and we will, like, get out of it again.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's certainly very real if it affects your student or
your
student's classroom or your student's school, right? That's where the rubber hits the road on these things. And there were a number of positions also, right, that were cut because federal money, the ESSER money, was ending. And so they knew that. That
they
was
did.
Something, right, that was headed, that was happening.
Yes.
But it doesn't really hurt any less to know that you're losing those positions. They're doing critical things in the schools.
Right, yeah. Mayor Marchetti pointed that out during the meeting. He was like, you know, I do remember conversations 3 years ago when we understood that these would be three-year positions. But, you know, it never feels great for that to happen.
Right.
And it never feels great to lose employees. So, you know, it's definitely different than other school budgets I've seen. You know, in past years, there's been conversations of, like, we need to figure out how to cut spending and stuff like that. And this year, it's like we had to cut spending.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting how it changes year to year. And Mayor Marchetti, during the meeting, also did kind of reveal that he was not going to be able to present the level service funded budget that was, you know, there was a petition for a level funded city budget.
Right.
He came back and he was like, well, I'm going to try to do a level service funded budget. Mm-hmm. And, you know, during the meeting last night, he was kind of like, we're all in pain here. You know, we're all kind of in the same situation. I'm going to be putting out a budget in a couple or a few weeks. And, you know, it's kind of going to be a similar thing that, you know.
That's usually the big kickoff to the budget season once the mayor has the school budget, which obviously he now knows what that will be.
Yeah.
I'm sure there have been a lot of consultations back and forth even before that to know what that number was going to be, you know, necessitating those cuts. But then the city council will then receive his budget proposal, and then that process kicks off. And that is a long process, I gotta say.
Yeah.
It pretty much takes up a good chunk of the month of May and part of June.
It does,
right?
Yeah.
And those, you talk about that a little bit. Those can be long sessions, and sometimes they're productive, right? And sometimes it seems like they're just going around in circles.
Yeah.
And you have a majority, or close to a majority, new city council and new school committee this year, right? So what are the dynamics like there in terms of how these things are going to be worked out?
So I think that based on my assumptions, I think that this year maybe there will be a little bit less debate.
Mm.
Not debate, but, you know, maybe it'll just go a little bit quicker. In a few weeks or a couple weeks when the budget comes out, it is a huge document. It's like 600 pages. I hope that in this administration they use the same kind of clickable layout that they did.
Oh, really?
In the last few years. Yeah.
Useful? Yeah.
It's so useful. It's kind of like a living document. Mm. You can go in and click on each section to get to it.
Mm.
What I do when I first see that is I start making we do all these little graphs for each departmental budget, and we kind of duplicate line item by line item. Mm-hmm. So I kind of go in and I start making those graphs. And it seems like a really long process because you have to have a deliberation for each department. This is going to be my third or fourth budget season. So for me, it's kind of like, I feel like, I mean, obviously it was a process that was like established by people before me at my work, but, you know, I feel like I've kind of got it down where it's tangible for me. I don't really feel overwhelmed. It's very much like, this is what happened today. Here is the graph.
Yeah.
These are the line items. But they're very long sessions.
Yeah.
There will be one night where there's a bunch of departments on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long night. Usually the school agenda, that's its own night.
Right.
When it gets to the final vote, anything could happen. You know, we've had charter objections.
At the last minute, too.
Yeah.
That year was very interesting because they do have some deadlines, right?
Yeah.
Like, even though the process takes 6 weeks, five weeks, whatever it takes to get through it, at the end of the day, the city council's job is to approve a budget, right, that the mayor has put forward. And really the only thing that the city council can do is cut from that budget. They can't add on.
Yes.
The only thing they can do is they could send it back to the mayor to change a budget line item if they wanted something to be higher instead of lower. But their particular power is to go into a line item and say, well, you've asked us for $1 million. We're going to give you $500,000 in this line item. Here you go. And then a majority of the city council, right, has to vote on that. And then they get all the way to the end of the budget. And by then, you would think that they've had all the debate that they would have be able to say, okay, we approve of this. And yet, that 1 year, we had a charter objection at the very end, which threw the whole process into chaos, right? What was that like when you sort of were there reporting on that and suddenly you're like, okay, what just happened here?
That was 2 years ago, I believe. Yeah. And it was very interesting. I kind of went home like, well,
how do you write that?
Yeah, I was definitely going up to, you know, I think actually Peter Marchetti at the time, who was the president, and I was like, okay, what's going on? What happened? Mm-hmm. What does this mean? And then, you know, there were some press conferences with the former mayor, Linda Tyer, and she was kind of explaining what was going to happen, what what they ended up doing was adopting the budget by default, and then she, the mayor was able to.
In other words, the original mayor's budget was adopted by default. Nothing that they had done during that whole session figured in, and then they had to go back, right, and revise.
Yeah. When you look at it that way, it's kind of like, it's city government. Mm-hmm. I mean, anything could happen. But the following year, they were definitely like, all right, you know, let's figure out a plan so that this doesn't happen again.
So now that you've seen that, you're prepared for pretty much anything, right, when these things come up?
I think so, yeah. I never like to make predictions, but, you know, I would predict that something like that isn't going to happen again.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to jinx anything, but.
But again, you have, kind of a mixture of people there on the council.
Yeah.
Some old hands, if you will, people that have been through a session or two. Certainly, you have Kathy Amuso, who's returned to the city council this year after having been on it previously. So she kind of knows the score. And then you have, I think, five new people that have not been through a budget process once before.
Yeah.
So as much as you follow it, maybe on PCTV or reading it in iBerkshires, it's probably a bit different being up there, sitting there and listening to everything, and then at the end of the day having to make that decision.
Yeah, definitely. There are some new faces on the committee, and, you know, maybe that will be a good thing. I assume it'll be a good thing. You know, it definitely is confusing, and that's why I kind of try to write the stories so that it's as plain as possible to kind of understand. Also, I look back years after that, and I look at what I wrote to see, you know, what was going on with the budget at that time. Yeah. So, yeah, it's just kind of about, like, simplifying it and, you know, making it palatable for people to be able to read and understand, because it is a lot.
Right.
I assume that most people aren't going to watch every single, you know, departmental budget deliberation.
Most people won't, but I think we have a couple of PCTV junkies out there that will definitely be watching every moment of the budget.
Oh, if I wasn't a reporter, I would still be watching every city council meeting. I don't think I would be there, but I would be watching it on PCTV. So thank you.
Right. Brittany Bolito is my guest here this morning. She's a Pittsfield Bureau Chief for iBerkshires, and this is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. And of course, this budget process is half of the story because, as you know, throughout the year, the budget is passed in June before the July, you know, the beginning of the fiscal year. Mm-hmm. But then the next year's tax rate is set later on in the year, right? And that's in November or December.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a direct result of the decisions that are made during this budget process. So there's kind of that disconnect there sometimes between the two. They vote on what they're going to spend, but they really only set the tax rate based on that later on. And that it almost comes back sometimes, right?
Yeah,
That's a story in itself.
It is, yeah. I mean, and it's also like just the way that fiscal years work. You know, your fiscal year starts halfway through the calendar year,
right?
But it's ahead of the calendar year. So our fiscal year 2025 is going to start, you know, in the middle of 2024.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a lot to keep track of, and you know, and with the tax rate, definitely, you kind of feel like you're already focused on the next thing when the tax rate comes out at the end of the year. So, you do get used to the schedule, kind of. But I think definitely it's just different.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why the fiscal years were set that way. I don't have that answer, but
because it's always been that way.
That's just how we do it.
Yeah. Yep. And of course, you're familiar by that time with all of the issues that went into the budget process, and that's part of what making a beat reporter like yourself, you have to be intimately familiar with these issues because they are very important for a while, and then, you know, news happens and things come up, and then, but you have to have that background because later on someone's going to say, yeah, remember when we were talking about this? Well, here it is again, right?
Yeah.
And one of those stories, for example, is the mosquito plan in Berkshire County, and that is starting to come back around again after many, many years of discussion. So, what do you hear on that story?
So I have the whole timeline down here because, you know, it's a lot to remember. But so in 2021, the adulticide spraying was discontinued. So it started off with the Subcommittee on Public Health and Safety. So they voted to opt out of the spraying portion of the Berkshire County Mosquito Control Project. That was then approved by the City Council. The Board of Health pushed back against that decision because there was, you know, that year there was a lot of mosquitoes. There was like heavy rainfall. They asked the subcommittee to reconsider. Instead, the subcommittee then voted to opt out of the mosquito project as a whole. And, you know, that went back to the City Council, and it was referred to the Conservation Commission, the Health Department, and the Commissioner of Public Services and Utilities. So the city never did opt out of the program as a whole. The mosquito spraying was discontinued, and it's been that way for 3 years. But then last summer, we had, I believe, a total of about 6 mosquitoes test positive for West Nile virus. So, you know, that brought up conversations again with the Board of Health requesting that spraying is to be reintroduced. And this is kind of where, you know, it was really discussed that there was seemed to be a disconnect between viewpoints and the Board of Health wanted to start a task force and kind of start to work together with the City Council to, I guess, just figure out, you know, where to go from here. There's going to be a hearing at I believe it's at the Berkshire Athenaeum on April 29th. On Monday to discuss that. And that'll be interesting. Definitely not been a public conversation other than Board of Health for a few years.
Well, it's been a close vote the last couple times also,
right?
So both times to discontinue the spraying, it was very close. It was maybe one or two at the best to stop the spraying. So you know, I think there's arguments on both sides. Both sides are very passionate about their arguments. There are people that, you know, are not enjoying the outdoors because of the overwhelming mosquito population. And, of course, the, you know, Tripoli and the West Nile and things like that that haven't necessarily been proven to be in people. But they're in the mosquitoes, potentially. So that is one side. And then the other side, of course, is environmental and the effects on other insects and pollinators and just unknown effects to human health. So, you know, there's certainly both sides there. Not an easy decision, I think, for people to make if you're in the know and in those positions to make those decisions.
I think it's going to be a pretty robust conversation on Monday. I think it was 2 councils ago that the vote was made. So I don't know how, you know, councilors will vote this time. You know, things like this always vary vastly on, you know, who's on the council. And like you said, it was a tight vote. So, you know, that's kind of something that we'll have to see. I believe that was that a question when we were doing
the debates?
Last year.
Yes,
was it?
Absolutely. I believe it was one of my 12 questions to the at-large counselors that I had in envelopes. I don't know who the lucky person was that chose the mosquito envelope. But, yeah, and you know, as it turns out, some of those questions did really come back around this year for some of the issues. Obviously, the bike lanes on North Street, which we'll talk about in the second half of the show, because that was a proposal that is, again, making its way and reading some of the social media comments. Comments are just hilarious.
And memes. I've seen some memes.
We have memes on our North Street. But it, you know, it does look like an interesting proposal, and it's not a done deal yet, right? There's going to be some community meetings on that, but very interesting process there.
Yeah, it is. It's a, you know, it's funny how something like bike lanes became such a hallmark topic of Pittsfield in the last few years. I don't think we ever saw that being something, but you know, that's polarizing and it generates conversation. So
change is hard. That's all I'm going to say there. And, you know, most of the funding for any kind of project when it relates to streets or streetscapes or things like that, all that funding is going to require pedestrian and bike lanes. There's just, you're not getting the money unless you do those things. So, you know, regardless of whether you like them or not, I think they're coming and they're going to be here.
Yep.
And I think if you go to any other community, honestly, you're going to see it in those places, and it works in those areas. So there's no reason to say it couldn't work here in Pittsfield as well.
Yeah, I think studying, like, you know, just how society has changed too. We kind of had that boom where everyone was like, yay, cars and commerce and stuff. And we don't have England Brothers on North Street anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the idea behind it, I think, is just to make it more of a street that you can kind of hang out on. Not hang out on, but, you know, walk around.
Make it more lively for pedestrians and for people.
Have sidewalk dining, things like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's interesting to study how, like, main streets and stuff like that have changed over the years.
It's a bigger conversation, too, about what main streets should be in the future, right? So, Brittany Polito is my guest here this morning. We've reached that top of the hour break that we always take, so let's do that now, and we will return with more discussion about the Pittsfield Beat from Brittany Polito, iBerkshire's bureau chief here in Pittsfield. And this is 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. We'll return right after this.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR-FM. The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from MyCom Federal Credit Union, 101 Fenn Street in Pittsfield, where their mission is to continue to promote the principle of people helping people while providing services that meet the diverse and ever-changing needs of their membership. MyCom Federal Credit Union, online at mycomcu.org. And do you need help heating your home? Berkshire Community Action Council may be able to help. The Fuel Assistance Program is accepting new applications beginning November 1st. This program assists with your primary heating source, including all heating types. Once you're eligible for fuel assistance, you're also eligible for a discount on your electric bill. Go to bcacinc.org for more information.
Have you ever dreamed of being a radio DJ, spinning your favorite vinyl, CDs, and MP3s? Have you ever wanted to share conversations with interesting guests with the community? Then the WTBR-FM Programming Committee wants to hear from you. We are now accepting proposals for new programs. For more information, visit WTBRFM.com or call 445-4234. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
The Civitan Club of the Berkshires is seeking new members. It provides Christmas meals for the elderly, holds food drives, raises funds for food pantries, and assists the disabled. Members choose what they want to do and the time they want to give. To learn more about Civitan, please call 413-464-4088 or check Facebook. Thank you for your consideration.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Hey friends, if you're looking for some party music, tune in to Polka Express with me, Bill Gustavus, every Wednesday night from 6 to 8, and Sunday mornings from 8 to 10, right here on 89.7 WTBR, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281 4222 and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you this morning, 8:04 in the morning on Friday, April 26th. And yes, you've made it to Friday, and we have a beautiful day out there. It sounds like it's going to be in the low 50s, kind of a nice late April day for us here in the Berkshires. Brittany Polito is my guest here this morning. We have more conversation with Brittany in just a moment. First, let's go back to the weather forecast from the National Weather Service and find out what we have in store for us coming up today and maybe into tomorrow. Here we go.
Berkshire weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny. Highs in the upper 50s. Northeast wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming north around 5 miles per hour this afternoon. Tonight, clear, cold with lows in the lower 30s. North wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming south around 5 miles per hour after midnight. Saturday, mostly sunny. Highs in the lower 60s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Now we're starting to hear those 60s creep up into the forecast. We like that. We'll take that. And of course, it's, you know, we know what's going to happen. It's just going to go right to the 80s,
yeah.
You know, and humid. That's what it happens every time. You know, we don't get to enjoy those 50s and 60s too much. So enjoy it while you can. It's going to be nice this weekend. Brittany Polito here on Morning Drive. Good morning again, Brittany. Thanks for being here.
Good morning and happy Arbor Day.
That's right. It is Arbor Day. That's right. And there's a ceremony today, right?
There is. Yeah. At the Berkshire Athenaeum. I'll be there later.
Yeah.
There's another one on Sunday to dedicate a bench to a longtime volunteer. I believe it's on Sunday.
Yeah.
That
happens every year, and it's a great thing. So if you get a chance, I think that'll also be shown on PCTV. I'm not sure if it's live or not. I should know that. You would think I would know that, but I don't know that. But it's definitely be able to be viewed at some point. So. Back to our conversation about stuff going on in Pittsfield, as Pittsfield is your beat, mm-hmm. as the Pittsfield Bureau Chief of iBerkshires.
Mm-hmm.
The North Street redesign just sort of hit the books this week. And again, this will be the third redesign of North Street in, 4 years, something like that?
Yeah, so it was September 2020 where the city first got the Shared Streets and Spaces grant. For the bike lanes and the curb extensions and mm-hmm. the vehicle lane reductions. So, yeah, it's very much been since COVID, mm-hmm. really.
And I almost can't imagine North Street without bike lanes at this point because it's been there for so long, but obviously a hot topic of debate over the last two elections. It was really, it's not something that's going away anytime soon. Mm-hmm. So this seems like maybe a more, structured approach, if you will, to... Mm-hmm. really redesigning North Street. And what did you hear when you heard that first presentation? Of course, this is going to community meetings as well. So mm-hmm. we're only in the very beginning stages of this.
Yeah. So, first of all, it was Downtown Pittsfield Inc. who requested the study on the angled parking.
Mm-hmm.
And they were actually very pleased to see that, you know, their request was responded with a study and with the... with the recommendation that was made. So Rebecca Breen, the director, she spoke during open mic and kind of withdrew that request and said that she supported the design that was presented and favored. There were four designs that were presented, or four or more. There was a 4A and 4B. Mm. And so the 4 was the one that was I don't want to say chosen, but, favored.
Yeah.
And
angled parking or diagonal parking can work in some communities and some roads.
Yep.
Lee is an example, I think, that's had diagonal parking of part of their downtown for a long time and also some parallel parking as well. But that has sort of dropped away now in favor of this fourth option, right?
Yeah. So the parallel, the angled parking idea was, to increase parking,
mm-hmm.
which is always, something that people want. But it was determined through multiple factors that the parallel parking would be the best way to go.
Mm.
Space wise, safety wise, not having to either, back up into the street or to have to pull into the street, you know, head in and back in parking, angled parking were both looked at. So there wasn't too much feedback from the council. I did hear a little bit of, you know, we would like to have as much parking as possible. And then other councilors said, you know, I do support this and I like this. And so the difference between this one is that the bike lane is actually separated through a landscaped buffer. And they proposed either a sidewalk or a street level bike lane. And it seems like the street level one is more preferred to not kind of not impede on the sidewalk space, but, you know, just keep things simple and maximize sidewalk space.
And I think they were also talking about maybe extending the sidewalk further out from the buildings as well, right? Yeah. Which would enable some of the businesses to have like an outdoor cafe or some outdoor shopping experience, something like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And so that was another thing, too. Councilors, or I think it was Pat Cavey, that was like, well, you know, it would be nice to have more outdoor dining. Mm. And, you know, Marketplace has their little setup there, but, you know, a little bigger sidewalks would allow them to have a little more. And, you know, just stuff like that, considerations like that. So it was a it's interesting to watch it evolve. You know, we had... it was last year that Karen Kalinowski proposed a ballot question to ask residents if they wanted to remove the bike lanes or to have two lanes of traffic again. And, you know, so it definitely conversation picked up again after that. And, you know, that was a thing in its own because they didn't know what was going on with the approval of the ballot question. And But it's interesting to see. Yeah,
it became more about the process, I think, than it became about the issue itself, right? And I think that was one of the questions that came up in one of those debates, which was basically, do you favor sending things like this to a ballot vote for the residents to vote on versus having your elected officials make these decisions for you? And that's really a philosophical question.
It is.
More than anything.
It is, because, you know, in theory, your elected officials are supposed to represent you and the people, but, you know, they are also people who, you know, have their own views on things. Yeah. So, yeah, it does come down to be purely philosophical. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here, of course, I'm writing about it, trying to get each side as best as possible and just tell people what's going on. And, you know, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot to come out of something simple like bike lanes.
It's amazing how much legs that story has had. That's all I'll say about it.
Yeah.
Is that we've been talking about it for a very long time, and maybe this will be the closure of getting that done, at least on North Street.
I remember the last two elections, really, we've had those like rapid fire questions during debates, and it's like bike lanes, yes, no.
That's what it comes down to, right? Yeah. And then right around the corner from North Street, there is another proposal for building some housing. Of course, housing is a number one issue here in Pittsfield and Berkshire County. Here on Morning Drive a few weeks ago, we had a program all devoted to the housing crisis. It really is a crisis. We had the Secretary of Housing here from the state of Commonwealth of Massachusetts on the program. And so there's no doubt that there are major, major issues for housing. There's a proposal to put some new both market rate and affordable rate housing at the corner of Linden and Seymour, or Center Street, I think, whichever one that is.
Center.
And people would know it as the old Polish Community Club, that building, plus that lot and the area there to build into that, right? So what's your story about that? Because you've done some work on that.
I have, yeah. So a developer went to the Housing Trust earlier this year. Kind of, you know, I think there had been conversations, but so essentially a developer is proposing a condo project there. It does maintain the Polish Community Club building, but adds, you know,
additional
condos.
Buildings.
Yeah, because it's a pretty big site. So the total project cost, they are saying, these are very preliminary numbers because the Housing Trust was kind of like, well, can you come up with some numbers so that we have an idea of, you know, what we're looking at. And so the total housing, or the total cost, would be about $21.5 million. And the developer has sort of asked the housing trust if they could provide $400,000 to ensure that 20% of the units can be sold at 80% area median income.
So essentially to make them more affordable for people on the income that are available here in Pittsfield.
Yes. Yeah. So it's not, you know, nothing's been set in stone or anything. That's just mostly been conversations. The trust is also about a year old and they need to, you know, develop a formal process so that people can come to them and, you know, have an application and say, like, this is what I'm doing. This is what I need.
And so how did the Affordable Housing Trust vote on that? Because it did come to them and they do have the control of the money, whether it goes to this project or some other project.
Yeah. So right now they have about $650,000 and they have applied for additional CPA funding, Community Preservation Act funding for this cycle. So they kind of, you know, they did okay a general letter of support to the state for the project because the developers are looking for $10 million through the Mass Housing Commonwealth Builder Program. There definitely were a couple people on the board who were just hesitant about the design. It is in the downtown creative district, and they just felt that it didn't very much align with the spirit of the district. So there was some pushback there.
So it wasn't going to look like the rest of the west side, essentially, was their concern?
Yeah, I wanted it to just be more inviting, have some like frontage on the streets. And I did ask the developer of community development, or the, sorry, the director. Yeah, so many names. So I asked her, you know, I was like, well, does this go against any of the DCD guidelines? And she said, no, it doesn't. But, you know, some of the members were just hesitant about, like, the design and, like, the spirit of it conforming with the Downtown Creative District, which that was implemented, I think, a few years ago. Maybe it was, like, 2021 or 2022, to give, like, zoning guidelines for the downtown. It's been expanded a couple times to actually include this parcel, too. So, you know, there was some pushback about the design, and the developer said, well, it would be, you know, this much money to redesign it, and we're not willing to. So, honestly, I don't know where that's going to go. Yeah, there, you know, there are definitely people on the trust who support it. You know, there are people who don't. Yeah.
Well, and I assume there's some urgency as well, because as I mentioned at the beginning there, that there is a crisis for housing, and that people are actually having difficulty finding a place to live that they can afford.
Yes.
That is a real problem here in Pittsfield, and, you know, transportation being another issue. So if you couldn't live in Pittsfield but had to work in Pittsfield, now you're going to be maybe finding some place on the outskirts or further out and then needing to get here. And, you know, then you kind of wrap another problem on a problem, right?
Right.
So, but making something happen on a site where you've got a developer and you've got a plan, you've got designs and things, I can understand the urgency to say, let's just get this done.
Yeah.
You know, what are we waiting for?
Yeah. And those were really the arguments, more like, we need to support this because we need this housing, and also the urgency of the Commonwealth Builder Program because, you know, it's kind of competitive. And then others were like, yeah, like, we do need housing, but I, you know, they wanted to make sure that they do it right.
Didn't want to rush into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is the first thing that has come to the trust, really. This is the first big proposal that someone has come to them with and said, well, you guys are a housing trust. You know, I would like this help from you guys. So, yeah, it's a new thing. Like I said, it's only been a year that the trust has been going on. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. And then with that kind of stuff, you know, I don't even know if that kind of vote would, you know, go back to the council. You know, That all I will be finding out along with you guys.
Right. So. Well, and, you know, there are some things that are under the authority of various boards and commissions in the city. And sometimes that runs up against popular opinion. The council sometimes thinks that they should have the final say on some things, but they don't. Some of those things include zoning, licensing, health board, right, conservation. Those are some of those decisions are made, and they don't need to go further than that. They are the authority on those things. You know, and that's where maybe the mosquito spraying, you know, has the clash, right? Because you have two different authorities that are, you know, in opposition in terms of what they think ought to happen. Zebra mussels at Anoda Lake. I know you did some work on that as well.
I did.
And that recently came to a vote, I think, at the city council.
So as far as I know, they are still unsure.
They still need to do some more testing, right?
So they've been doing, I think last week Jim McGrath said that there was going to be more testing this week. So there was a positive test for zebra mussels in September, I believe. And, you know, obviously after that, that raised a lot of red flags because the city has been, you know, trying to not have zebra mussels since they were discovered at Laurel Lake in 2009. So,
because once you get the infestation, they're there for good, right? So they want to take care of it early if they can.
So,
and
you
they're
know,
an invasive species for people that need to know that. So it's something that, attaches itself to boats and then finds its way to other lakes. And right, these are not species that are native to any of these lakes.
And I recently heard, I mean, I didn't even really think about this, but one of the people that spoke at one of the meetings was like, these also affect, you know, just people hanging out of the lake because I guess they have like sharp edges. And if you were to like step on them, it would be very uncomfortable. But yeah, it's you know, the city, I think it was last year or maybe the year before, there was a proposal for CPA funding for a boat wash to, you know, as part of the ongoing prevention of zebra mussels. And, you know, so definitely the detection of zebra mussel DNA in September kind of raised a lot of red flags. So they've been just testing since then, doing a lot of testing, I think. I guess there's been a lot of partnerships between, like, the state, between, like, local groups that support the lake and the city. And, you know, it's been made to be a little bit more affordable than it would be otherwise, you know, due to people volunteering their time. That's what I've heard. So,
They've got quite a good committee up there of volunteers that watch out for the lake.
They do. So, they have a lot of people that care about the lake. But, so they did, the Conservation Commission in the last, I think it was earlier this month, they did okay a application of a pesticide for the zebra mussels if it is confirmed that there's a colonization over by the boat dock, which is where, you know, that sample was found. So,
these are the kind of stories that I Berkshires and you cover on a regular basis, and they may not rise to the level of, let's say, network news, right? But they're so important for this region and for this area. And the small stories are the ones that affect people directly, I think, in some ways. You know, the old adage that if it bleeds, it leads. Unfortunately, that is news these days. And if you ever watch any kind of, you know, local affiliate news from either Albany or Springfield, you kind of see a lot of that. And it's, you know, you kind of get... I'm over it. Let's put it that way. I'm much more interested in these kinds of stories, even though they're smaller. They affect everybody's daily lives. You know, and here's another one that affects people's daily lives in Pittsfield. Trash pickup. Right? And there's another issue I know that we talked about during debate season over the last couple of years, because it's been an issue that continues to sort of rise up. It's a very costly expense to the city of Pittsfield. Pittsfield's the only municipality in Berkshire County that has trash pickup as part of your tax package, if you will. You pay your taxes, you get your trash picked up for no extra cost. Everyone else in the county has to pay for trash pickup, right? And so that seems to be coming to a change fairly soon. That's what we're hearing.
So, you know, this was referred off to also Committee of the Whole at City Council, but So there's a...
Which means there's going to be another special meeting for it at some point in the future.
Yes. So
just talking about that one issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And committee of the whole is city council.
Yeah.
fancy word.
Right.
But so... And there's some background on Casella, too, because, you know, they bought the former trash incinerator, mm-hmm. knocked it down, making it into a transfer station. So, you know, there was also that story about, you know, the bankruptcy there, not with Casella, but with the former owners and, you know, the turnover of the facility on Hubbard Ave. So mm-hmm. this kind of comes after all of that. But there is a draft 5-year agreement between the city and Casella for the essentially for municipal solid waste and recyclable collection services. So there's a lot within it, but essentially, they are proposing a automated collection service, which you know would use the toters for it. And it says that the agreement includes a savings of $80,000 in the budget to make this possible,
which is pretty significant,
right? And so, I guess the procurement and the distribution of the standardized carts, like. The toters would be at no additional cost to the city because of the savings. That's what the contract says. So, yeah, so they would be 48-gallon carts for waste and recyclables. Does not say in here, you know, I assume that the waste and the recyclables would be separated.
Two separate toters. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. So,
and, you know, there will be 3 community meetings that the city will be holding, and I'm pretty sure PCTV will be covering at least one of those to get that on the air so people can sort of hear what the debate and the discussion is, hear the full presentation.
Yeah.
Certainly the committee of the whole meeting will be on PCTV and certainly will be covered by you on iBerkshire. So those are 2 really great resources to get that information from. And it, again, affects everybody's daily life once a week. You're getting your trash down to the curb.
Yeah.
And I think it sounds to me like that will promote recycling also because if you have a 48-gallon toter and you can fit a certain amount of trash in there, there's an incentive for you to say, well, if I just take this cardboard and I just take these bottles and cans and put those over here, that doesn't add up to my 48 gallons. So now I'm just throwing out my trash instead of my recycles. That's an incentive.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that's cool. I support recycling. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I'll say that publicly. But, there has been in the past, I know there has been debate about toters. That was before my time, but I remember there was a toter proposal and, you know, there was debate about that. Included in this also is another ghost from the past, which is pay-as-you-throw options. So, you know, we had that big conversation about pay-as-you-throw a few years ago.
Right.
And so this would introduce a structured fee system for households that require additional waste carts. So, you know, maybe you have a large household size and you need additional carts.
Yep.
So that is kind of the pay-as-you-throw system. Different than what we were discussing a few years ago. I think there was bags.
That you would buy a bag, and the number of bags you bought was the amount of trash that you threw out. So, but this might make a little more sense because then if you had the second toter, then you had a bigger family, let's say, or you know you just needed to throw out more stuff, then you're paying for it.
Yeah.
You're paying additional above and beyond what the city is paying for that cost. So very interesting. Big stories coming up. This is going to give you a lot of work.
It is. And graduations and budget.
Right. You are definitely going to be busy over the next couple of months, Brittany Polito. What are the fun things in the last minute or so of the show? Fun things that you see happening in Pittsfield. Fun things you get to write about.
So I know that next week I am doing something with the Berkshire Regional Transit Authority. They recently had an anniversary. I believe it was it 50 years? They had an anniversary recently.
Yep. Early 70s. That sounds right.
Going to do something with that. And let's see. I mean, the Arbor Day stuff is always fun.
Yeah.
We love celebrating trees.
Yep.
Honestly, just like summer events, you know? Just a lot of
things going on in the summer in the Berkshires.
Yeah, those are the days when you're working, but you also don't really feel like you're working because you get to be outside and you get to be talking to people and stuff like that. So things like that I'm looking forward to. I also, I don't mind graduation and prom season. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
I like watching people have a great day. So,
well, anytime I see sort of the historical newspaper clippings come up in my feed, it's always the things that are interesting is showing people doing fun things.
Mm-hmm.
And that sometimes is the essence of a newspaper, whether it's an online or a print newspaper,
yeah,
is showing people and what they do.
Yeah, you got to remind people to have fun.
You know? Brittany Polito, thank you, and let's all have fun. I agree with that.
Let's all have fun.
Thanks for being here today, and we'll have you back and talk about some of these other stories as they wind on up. Everybody, have a great weekend, and thanks again for joining us here on Morning Drive. We'll see you next week. Take care.